The Lord be with you.
And with
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "You have heard that it was said, 'You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your heavenly Father. For he makes his sun rise on the bad and the good, and causes rain to fall on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what recompense will you have? Do not the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brothers and sisters only, what is unusual about that? Do not the pagans do the same? So be perfect, just as your heavenly Father is perfect." The Gospel of the Lord. It's a remarkable commandment from Jesus. It's remarkable. And I don't know, there's some part I want to say, I long to see the days when this command is no longer seen as remarkable. It's an interesting thing because the dynamic here, Jesus speaking to his contemporaries, is almost immediately transposable into our reality. So, you know, we look at that. We're in the Sermon on the Mount here, the Gospel of Matthew, and Jesus is exhorting Israel to be Israel at last. Jesus is exhorting Israel to be the light to the world that they are called to be. And what does that look like? At its heart, it looks like this. Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. That's what it looks like at its heart. So that's the first movement is God's, right? God is the one who takes initiative. So he calls, he chooses, then he inspires, equips, animates, and the rest, right? Pushes us into action. He calls us to prayer. He calls us to give our lives over to him. And giving our lives over to him, then he moves us into salutary action, action that gives health to the world and to us by giving it to the world. This is not that complicated. So if I'm making it too complicated, then ignore some of it, right? But one of the first moves then, or I would say it's one of the first priorities is this. I mean, the command to love. So like if this is not happening, it's likely that there are a lot of things in our Christian walk that are not happening. If this is not happening, if you don't love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, you're putting up barriers to what God wants to do. So, and if you, it's not like I can put up a barrier over here and let the water flow around it into something else. You know, it's like you put up a barrier over there, you're prevented from receiving what God wants you to receive. And you're less able to do what God is calling you to do. So, the question Jesus then is asking of his contemporaries, whether or not they're willing to be Israel at last, whether or not they're willing to live up to, they want to live up to the calling of God to be a light to the world. Or do they want the light for themselves and let everybody else live in outer darkness and despair? So, I mean, there's much more going on here for Jesus and his contemporaries, but that's the heart of it. And like I said, it's easy to bring that forward to our day, to ask that question of ourselves. Do we love our enemies? Now, I can say this because, you know, we are daily Mass people, right? I mean, Saturday morning Mass people are pretty committed, right? You're pretty committed. You don't think to yourself you're not committed, right? You know, you're scared to respond because you know that I'm setting a trap for you. Do you know? But no, I'm not. I'm not setting a trap for you. You're committed. You're committed people. You're showing up on Saturday morning. Do you know? You're committed people. You want to be Catholic. You want to be Christian. You want to follow Jesus. So you write all the rest. This is true. And that, but then there are big questions for us, like, do we look any different from anybody else? That's what Jesus is asking here, right? I mean, it's not what he's asking. He's saying, you know, there's no merit in loving the people who love you, in the sense of there's no sense in loving the people who love you that you're responding to the call of God. You may or may not be, but doesn't everybody else do that? We should ask those questions as well, right? If you greet your brothers and sisters only, if who you are or what you have is reserved only to your familial relations, you're just the same as everybody else. And if you only love people who love you, you're just the same as everybody else. Why would you come here Saturday morning to be the same as everybody else? I'm not trying to stoke pride there to say you should desire to be better than. It's not the point. You're here to be equipped for the mission that God is calling you to, which is not this better than or less than, which is false humility probably, but it's to serve the other, to be equipped to give my life away. That's the life that we want. And if we're living, and put another way, we who have come to know God as the God of generosity, the God of overflowing and outpouring love, sheer generosity, we want to embody that in our lives. And sometimes we take on the wrong measures of what that looks like and say, well, yeah, do you know, like, I don't know, I love people. And then we don't want to think about it too much anymore. Do you know, like, Jesus is drilling down on that. Who do you love? Only the people who love you? Do you love only the people who are easy to love? That's another one, right? And everybody else we're just like, you know, eternally frustrated with because that guy's annoying or whatever. And I say that guy, but it's like the people closest to you, do you know? So it's not that guy exactly, but are we giving up on the cause of love where we're being called to lean in, make it happen? And this is 2,000 years ago, right? I mean, but it's alive. It's alive for us today. And that's the question, right? So it's not now anymore. I mean, it's, you know, we're the new Israel gathered around Jesus. So will the new Israel be the new Israel? Or put another way, is the church ready to be the church or not? Do you want to be the light to the world? Because it means embodying the reckless, generous love of God. You don't think it's reckless? Keep your eyes ahead of you. Give it all away. Give it all away. That's the light of the world. That Jesus is the light of the world. And we're called to participate in his life. Give ourselves recklessly away and light up the world with God's love.